Hallelujah. Come on, let's give him our best tonight. Oh, he's worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. How many can say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. You know, if you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like you to just turn your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Amen. And we're going to go ahead and get started. I want to bring greetings from the church that I'm at right now. It's a Victory Outreach, Casa Victoria. If you look at the flyer, the East Coast Women in Ministry Retreat is going to be held there next, I think, in October. But the pastors are Pastor Ramon and Sister Gloria Castro, and he asked me to make sure that I said hello to everyone. And when you go to conference, look him up. Amen. Praise the Lord. In Mark chapter 4, also my wife sends greetings. She says she wished she was here, but maybe next time, if there is a next time, I'm going to make sure that I bring her. Amen. But in Mark chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse 35. Amen. It says, on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Everybody say other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And the other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat. So it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he arose and rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I just come before you tonight. God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, I ask, Lord God, that you just continue to move in this place. Open our hearts and our minds that we can receive all that you have for us tonight. God, I ask for your precious anointing. For it's that's your anointing that breaks every yoke. God, I ask this in Jesus' name. We all say, amen. We all say, amen. Amen means you agree. How many agree? You can be seated. Amen. The Bible says in the first verse, on the same day, and on the same day, actually, refers to the same day that Jesus taught his disciples some parables about the kingdom. But now Jesus wanted to teach them a practical lesson, right? To actually test and to see how much actually they learned about the parables. Jesus wanted to see if his word actually had deposited faith in them. Now, the Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by how? Hearing the word, right? Hearing the word of God. Faith is deposited. Now, this is just one of the reasons why the devil wants to keep you from the word of God. How many can say amen? See, and how many know, not only does the devil want to keep you, sometimes our flesh keeps us from reading. How many can say amen? But I want to share with you tonight that these are the last days. How many believe that? And that, you know what, it's so important that we begin to get into the word of God. I was sharing with the leadership last night how important it is, not only the word deposits faith, but how many know the devil wants to keep you from the blessings of God? The Bible says in Deuteronomy 28 that if you heed to the voice of the Lord and you actually do what he says to do, how many know that you'll be blessed? That you'll be blessed when you come in, you'll be blessed when you go out. You'll be blessed in the city, you'll be blessed in the country. You'll be blessed, blessed, blessed. But the devil wants to keep you from the blessings. He doesn't want you to prosper. He doesn't want you to succeed. That's what the Bible says in Joshua 1:8. You know, if you begin to meditate on the word of God, you begin to actually get into the word of God day and night, the Bible says that you will have good success, that you will prosper. See, the devil doesn't want you to do that, amen? He wants to keep you always, you know, with, I call lack of Titus, amen? To make you think that you're never, you have lack of, of finances. You're always going to have, you're never going to have enough, of anything. You have lack of love in your marriage, lack of, you know, you people accept that. That you think that's what you're supposed to be. But how many know that's a lie from the pits of hell? Amen. That God wants his people to be blessed. But see, we get so used to not having, we think, well, that's the way it's supposed to be. But how many know that's just a lie from the devil? How many can say amen? So here the disciples were being tested. But just like the disciples, the word is also tested in us. How many can say amen? The word is tested in you. Remember, it's not enough just learning a lesson or being able to repeat a teaching. See, God always puts his word to the test. Now, one of the reasons he allows trials and storms to come into our lives, right, is to test us. Many times they're just tests. How many know that trials are going to come, right? Regardless if you're saved or you're kind of saved or you're really faithful, you're not faithful, or maybe you're faithful but you're not fruitful. I mean, that God, you know, it's one thing just to be faithful, but God wants us to be fruitful. How many can say amen? But we have to understand that storms are going to come. Remember, it's not enough just learning that lesson or being able to repeat a teaching, right? God will always put his word to the test. And one of the reasons he allows trials and storms to come in our lives is that, you know, he wants to see actually where you're at. These things happen over and over. You know, and Jesus, you think about it, did Jesus really know that there was a storm coming? I'm glad you asked. Of course he did. I mean, he's the master of every circumstance, of every situation, the master over every storm. Yet, many people believe that storms only come when you're disobedient to God. And although we sometimes, because we read the Bible, we see different situations and different people that went through cases like that, like the case of Jonah. I mean, a storm came in his life directly because of his disobedience. I mean, read that story, right? But sometimes you could be obedient, and yet sometimes a storm will still come because God wants to get your attention. Or sometimes, he might just even be chastising you. And I looked that up. The word chastising means to be whipped or, how many of God says not to spare the rod? But you think, well, I don't remember getting beaten down. But you got to understand that when we sin against God, that it hurts his heart. And so when you do things wrong, your heart's going to hurt. And that's part of chastising, And he chastises us, for one thing or another. Just like in Jonah's case. But now the disciples, in their case, they ended up in a storm and they were just being obedient, right? But the Lord said, let's go to the other side. And you know what? And so that's what they did, right? They got in the boat, they were obedient to God, and they went to the other side. We see here that the disciples were obedient. But how many know that when people come into the church or come into the home, how many know they're not always obedient, right? They haven't learned to be obedient. And how many know it's important that as children of God that we become obedient, right? I mean, how many know you would like your children to be obedient? We want our children to be obedient. Well, God wants his children to be obedient as well. Amen? See, God's called us to be obedient. Now, we have to understand that whatever we do, we should do it unto the Lord. How many can say amen? See, if you really get this, you won't be so messed up. See, it's not about you anymore. If you're saved, if you're born again, it's not about you anymore. And it's kind of difficult for a single person to actually accept that because really it's all about you, right? Where you sleep, how you dress, what you eat, right? It's all about you. But when you get saved, you got to begin to think it's not all about you. It's about God. And it's about others. And when you think like that, you won't be so disappointed all the time. You won't get, you won't go on a bummer so much. Because you got to understand, it's not about you, but it's about God. It's about others. Again, I want to share with you that I shared with the home that, years ago, God had me, I learned to be obedient. I learned to be obedient because... several things happened in the home, and instead of being a yeah but brother, I learned to be an amen brother. Amen. And you know, you have yeah but people in the church. Yeah, but I don't understand. Or yeah, but I did it yesterday. Yeah, but who said? Right. And but I don't believe we have any people in this church, right? That's, right? Everybody's amen. Listen, we learn to say amen, you know, when storms are you know, even when storms are, coming your way, right? Storms are still going to come regardless of what you do. If you're serving God, you're not serving God, you're faithful, you're not faithful, you're fruitful, whatever, storms are still going to come. The difference is when you go through a storm, and you know, and when you're obedient, see, you have to know and have faith that you'll always, always be victorious. That's one thing that I learned when I was in the home. I can remember back in California, they had car washes, right? But when I was in the home, I was supposed to get a visit from my family, and then what happened is that morning I was ready, man, I'm going to have a visit. But the counselor said after chow, he gave out the assignments for work, and he pointed me out and said, oh, yeah, you're going to the car wash. And I'm saying, yeah, but I thought I was going to get a visit. And he goes, no, you're going to go to the car wash. In fact, hurry up. So, man, I said, man, I started getting mad. I said, man. This guy doesn't have kids. He doesn't even know what it's about, man. And I started going, and I was upset. You know how we get. And, but I got about halfway through a basketball court, and I stop, and I go, wait a minute. See, God had already started doing the work in my life. And I said, wait a minute, God. If this is what you want me to go through, man, I'm going to go through it. Man, I went back there, and I got dressed, and I got in the van. Man, I was feeling good. God put a joy in my heart, and I didn't understand what was going on. In fact, the brother said, well, what's up with you? Man, I don't know, but I feel good. Man, I was feeling good. And what happened, we went to the city, and we washed one car because it was drizzling. And then this is the way the Lord works. My wife was coming to the ranch, but before she was going to go to the ranch, she stopped at McDonald's, bought a bunch of food. But she was going down the road, and she saw the sign, Victory Outreach Car Wash. So she pulls in, and the counselor says, hey, isn't that your wife? Man, we go ahead and go fellowship with her. Man, I went in the car. I chowed down, right? I was having fellowship with my wife. And then about 2:30, the counselor pulls up and says, you know what? Follow us back to the ranch because, you know what, we're not going to wash any more cars here. So I got to fellowship with my family all day. God turned it around for the good. How many can say amen? And see, and I thank God. That the word of God, that scripture actually became a reality to me. I realized as long as I was obedient and actually did God's will, you know what? You know, I was blessed. Now, after I got out of the home, I became an usher in the church. And in the church that back then, when you came into the church, there was a place where they had a chart for all the ushers, and it told you where you went. Well, for about a month, I would come in the church. And I had it Sunday evening and also Sunday morning. I look at the chart. My name was in the parking lot. After a month. So I grabbed they give you a flashlight, and you're out in the parking lot checking the cars. And then all of a sudden, we were going to have a special guest. And I'm thinking, oh, I know what this guy was doing. He was waiting for me. You know, when we have the special guest, then he was going to let me in, be with my family. Well, he came that day and that evening, and I looked at the chart, and there's my name, parking lot. Man, that time, I got upset. You know how we get. And so what happened, here I am in the parking lot. Man, that's something's wrong with that usher, that head usher, and he has a problem. But then all of a sudden, something happened. All of a sudden, I remembered the home where, you know, when I said, wait a minute. Man, God, you know what? If this is what you want me to do, man, I'm going to do it. Man, all of a sudden, God did it again. That joy just welled up inside of me. Man, I got that flashlight. I was the best parking lot attendant, man. I was looking at all the cars. You know what? And that day, if you believe it or not, God gave me a song. Want to hear it? Let me see if I can remember the words. It goes like this. I want to be what you want me to be. Do what you want me to do. Go where you want me to go. Just magnify your love through me. Now even in my darkest hour, you're my light and show me the way. You give me supernatural power. For within me I know there's just no other way. I want to be what you want me to be. Do what you want me to do. Go where you want me to go. Just magnify your love through me. Now I thank you for your Holy Spirit that comforts me and convicts me when I'm doing wrong. But there's one thing I know is that you love me so, and you give me the strength to go on. I want to be what you want me to be and do what you want me to do and go where you want me to go. Just magnify your love through me. Now, Jesus, I know you're soon returning, sooner than we all realize. But my heart continues yearning to be up there in heaven right by your side. I want to be what you want me to be. Do what you want me to do. Go where you want me to go. Just magnify your love through me. Just magnify your love through me. Boom, boom. You know, that's a surrendered life. When you say, man, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll be whatever you want me to be. And God, I'll even go wherever you want me to go. And see, but what happened, you have to understand that God wants us to be obedient, right? Because see, if you're not obedient sometimes, that trial or that storm sometimes lasts a little longer. Some of you experienced that. How many can say amen? Until you repent, sometimes from your wrong, or learn the lesson that God wants to teach you. See, in fact, that same storm might seem to come again. And again. And again. And again. But like the disciples, how many know you have a choice? When you're going through a storm, we have a choice to panic, right? Like they did. Or fear, worry. You know, get angry, especially when the storm, you know, gets fierce. Like one of the disciples, you know, maybe even worse. Look at this. It could have happened, you know, and actually this wasn't an ordinary storm for the disciples to be fearful, because they were fishermen. They knew about storms. They used to be out there all the time when there was a storm. But this storm, it was a big storm. I mean, can say amen. And you might be saying, well, I'm going through a big storm, right? You don't understand the storm that I'm going through. And you're right, I don't. But God does. How many can say amen? See, one of the reasons people, you know, fall apart in the storms is because they just don't want to take their turn. You're saying, what's he talking about? Well, the Bible says, you know, I shared this with the leadership or the home. I remember, but in the book of 1 Peter 2:18, what happens is that you don't want to suffer because it doesn't feel good. I mean, no, suffering doesn't feel good, right? But if you want to be a real Christian, you better learn how to suffer. But see, it becomes easier when you know how to suffer. Because God says, if you read that scripture, God says, what good is it if you suffer for something you did wrong and you take it patiently? Like saying, well, God, you know what? I blew it. I'll take it. Whatever's coming. God says, what good is that? But when you suffer for something you didn't do wrong, but this is commendable before God. Because the Bible says, for this you are called to suffer wrongfully. Because I have left you an example that you should follow in my steps. This is Jesus speaking, right? See, we have to learn that. We have to begin to learn how to humble ourselves during this time. But more important, you have to learn to how to. How many know that when you go through trials or suffering, there's pain involved? How many can say amen? Right? There's pain involved. However it comes, people do you wrong. Different things happen, but there's pain involved. The thing you have to learn how to do is to learn to embrace that pain. Because if, when that pain comes, how many know, most of us, what we want to do is we want to fight. Huh? Come on, don't look at me. You know what? Some of you should stand on street corners trying to scare people with your face. Huh? Some of us like to fight. We want to fight. Man, we get angry, right? Some of us, we run. I mean, trial, that pain comes, we want to run. Some of us, instead of running, we just have a pity party and invite the whole church. Huh? Some of us just complain. You complain. But how many know it's a sin to complain? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that, you know, it's classified with a whole bunch of other sins. Now, in verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized, Moses, in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that that rock was Christ. But with the most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, for the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as some of them were. As it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink, rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer." See, it's a sin to complain. And we don't even think about that it's a sin. Look, just check this out. Look how many times you're going to complain before you get home. Some of you are going to complain even before you get out of the church, because you're not even conscious of it. How many of we have to be conscious, about what we say and what we do? How many can say amen? You got to understand that God cares about you. He cares about you so much that, you know, he wants you to continue to be intimate with him. How many can say amen? He says, in 1 Peter 5:6, he says, in 7, he says, to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and then, you know, cast your cares upon him. You know, we do that. Some of us are pretty good at that. We learn how to come to the altar, cry, cast our care, and then before we leave, we make sure we take him with us. Because you think, man, God, and then you think God doesn't care. You got to learn to trust God. How many can say amen? You got to learn how to truly humble yourself. How many times have you prayed, you know, for something to change in your life? Or maybe for someone else's life. Or maybe your own life. You know, were you casting your cares? You know, but when you do that, you got to understand the devil's going to come, like, right now. Right? He's going to come and he'll spark unbelief. Right? And sometimes maybe you're even going to go pray for somebody and you see the pastor or the pastor's wife pray for somebody, and the devil will tell you, "Who are you? What are you going to pray?" Right away, he wants to cause doubt and unbelief. You know, he begins to, you know, tell you lies like, you know, nothing's going to take place. You know, everything's going to be the same. Your life is never going to change. You know, and then so what do? You take those cares back. And you think that God doesn't listen to you anymore. How many know we got news for the devil? I said, how many know we got news for the devil? See, because how many know we can change? Now, see, because see, once you learn to embrace that pain, and you instead of running, instead of, you know, fighting, and you embrace that pain, and, you know, how many know if you run, that pain's still going to be there, right? How many know if you have a pity party, that pain's still going to be there? How many know if you fight, that pain's still going to be there? But you know what? When you embrace the pain, it goes away. And if you haven't experienced that, you know, man, I know you're going to hardly wait till another trial comes. Because what happens when you embrace the pain, all of a sudden, God wells up a joy inside your heart. See, and once that joy comes, look at the devil can't touch it. It goes away. See, God came to give us life and life more abundant. Right? See, but yet when a trial comes, you know, that's why you say, well, that sounds like a good scripture. And that, man, that I think that's really neat. But, man, how come I can't have none of that? You have to learn to embrace the pain. You have to learn to get that joy that comes from. What do you think James said, count it all joy when you go through trials. Consider it. Huh? Because he learned to embrace the pain. See, we have to learn to embrace that pain. So listen, God wants to bless you. You know, when just think, you know, that joy that can come inside your life. Huh? But see, a lot of times we can't do that because we don't have enough faith. And the reason why you don't have enough faith is because you have a shallow relationship with God. You pray, but you really don't know how to read the Bible yet. I've been sharing this because I feel it's an urgency. Because these are the last days. Your devotional time, and when you read this Bible, it should be from page to page, like it was written. From page to page. Because you might miss something. You might miss that page where God wanted to bless you. That promise that he's had for you for years. You know, something that was going to change your life. And you get stuck. And then you find yourself saying, man, I shouldn't have done that. Man, why did I say that? If you can't, see, you know, keep doing those things, it's because, see, if you're not faithful in the little, you're not going to be faithful in much. You're going to keep blowing it. Look at, for some of you, God just wants you to go back to your first love. Get back intimate. Listen, you know what? The time is now. The world is going to see things they've never seen before. And it's going to keep just getting more intense and more intense. And only the strong are going to survive. The Bible says even the elect will fall away. Listen, God wants us to, you know, because really the church is wandering. The church today is wandering, just like the children of Israel. You know, in the wilderness, how many know the presence of God was with them? A pillar of fire in the night, a cloud in the day. The presence of God was with them. And I know when you have church, you sense the presence of God. You know God is with you. Well, so it was with the children of Israel. God provided for the children of Israel, right? Right, food from heaven. I mean, some of we got to still work. Food from heaven, meat. You know what? Their clothes didn't even wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. God provided for them in the desert, in the wilderness, when they were wandering. But you know what? God provides for you. God blesses you. You don't look very, you know, undernourished. Huh? God blesses you. But yet the church is still wandering. They had leaders in the wilderness. Moses, Aaron. And after a while, leaders over everybody, right? You have leaders. You have good leaders. The church is wandering in the land of just enough. Just enough prayer. Just enough of the word. Just enough giving. You're going to do your part. Just enough. Listen, God has not called us to live in the land of just enough. God has called us to live in the land of more than enough. You know, and see, and you know what it's going to take? And see, what God, you know, the reason why people don't want to go to the other side, they don't want to go, you know, where the giants are in the land, or where the fortified cities. Listen, they just want to stay in the land of just enough. But God hasn't called you to be in the land of just enough. God wants you to cross over to the land of more than enough. Listen, God wants to bless his people. If you don't, man, if you don't read the Bible, you know, all the people that were obedient to God, they were a blessed people. Listen, God wants to bless his people. You know, how many ever been blessed before by God? You know it was God. Listen, God doesn't run out of blessing. He wants to continue to bless you. He wants you to be a testimony in your family. Not, you know, barely making it. Some of you're still in survival mode. Huh? God didn't call us to do that. God called us to go over to the other. God's going to raise up Joshuas and Calebs in this church. That, you know what? Doesn't matter about no giants. You know what? My God is a bigger God. You know what? I know that. You know what? I fortify cities. We're going to knock them down. How many can say amen? But we have to have it in our spirit. See, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. Listen, if you have a shallow relationship, my friend, you're not going to know God's voice. Because God's voice in your mind sounds just like the devil's voice. Sounds just like your voice. Whose voice have you been listening to? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. You got to know him. You got to know him. I shared last night that, you know what, when you get to heaven, it's not going to be the Catholics over here, the Baptists over here, the Pentecostals over here, Victory Outreach somewhere up there. Either you know him or you don't know him. Either he knows you or he doesn't know you. You know, God wants us to get to know him in a personal way, an intimate way. We have to begin to get into the word of God. Your personal relationship, my friend, is so important. When you begin to do that, guess what happens? All of a sudden, your faith level is going to get up. You know, it's going to go to a whole nother level. You're going to believe God for the impossible. You know, all of a sudden, you're going to start giving more. You know what's going to happen? You're going to become a two-mile Christian. Huh? Jesus said, you know, he said in, I think in Matthew chapter 5, he said, if someone asks you to carry a load 1 mile, you carry it two. See, back then, the Roman soldiers used to go from city to city. Well, who had to carry all their stuff? Well, they got the Jews to carry all their stuff. They made a law that the Jews had to carry their stuff 1 mile. And then guess what they did? After a mile, poof, they were gone. But Jesus said, if they ask you to carry a load 1 mile, you carry it too. Huh. You want to be blessed? Whatever you're asked to do, do it and do it just a little bit more. Be a two-mile Christian. If you know what, when you give, instead of giving what you normally give, look, give that and just a little bit more. And you know what? You're going to see God bless you. And then you know what? You're going to cross over to the other side. See, some of us, the Bible says it's better, more blessed to give than to receive. Some of us say, that sounds good, but you know why you haven't been blessed? Because you don't even get enough, give enough to get blessed. You give more than you ever have. Listen, God will bless you out of your socks. You cannot outgive God. In fact, God not only give you back finances, he'll bless you with things that money can't buy. Huh? You know what? Your brother's going to get saved. You know what? Your whole family's going to get saved. You know, all of a sudden, things are going to happen that would seem impossible, but how many know they're possible with God? But you're going to see them happen. Why? Because you're going to believe God. Listen, how many want to please God? Listen, it's impossible to please God without faith. Man, you have to begin to stir up that gift that's inside of you. How many can say amen? Begin to have faith. Have to begin to believe. How many believe you're going to reach the other side? I say, four people. How many believe you're going to, you know, reach the other side? Man, we have to begin to believe it. How many can say amen? See, because see, what happens, you know, you got to stay away from people that are going to spark unbelief. Stay away from them. Stay away. In fact, you know, I know that some people just love to gossip. They think that's their calling, I think. But you know what helped me? I remember, again, another miracle in the home. I was talking about a couple of brothers. And there was this God, Holy Ghost brother. I was trying to tell him about this other brother. You know what he did? He says, hold up a minute. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for this. Man, I felt like this big. And then after that, I started doing that. People started telling me something. Yeah, really? Okay, let's pray right now. I cut them right off the conversation. You know what happened? They ain't going to talk to you no more. They ain't going to give you no gossip. Huh? Pray. Just start praying. Say, oh, God, just touch them right now. That'll kill gossip in the church, like, right now. How many can say amen? Listen, see, the devil wants to cause unbelief. And as soon as just one little bit of doubt, man, he'll be on you like a bulldog on a pork chop. Unbelief will rob you, like it robbed the children of Israel from their promise, from the purpose, from reaching their destiny. You have to understand that. You know the story. How, you know, you have to remember that doubt comes from the devil. It comes from unbelief. I know that most people just want to be a good person, just be a normal Christian. I heard that, believe it or not, I've heard it several times since I've been over here. Well, I just want to be a normal Christian, a normal. Look, Christians are not normal. We're a peculiar people. You know, because see, there's a lot of good people that are going to go to hell. What do you think the Lord in the Garden of Eden, he said, you can eat of every tree except this tree. It was the what? The tree of knowledge of what? Good and evil. Okay, we understand why evil, but why good? That wasn't God's perfect plan. God had it perfect for Adam and Eve, right? It was so perfect. The weather was perfect. I mean, they didn't even need clothes. Right? But all of a sudden, they went independent of God. They sinned, right? They realized they did something evil. But now they had the knowledge of good. So they did something good. And they covered themselves. Fig leaves. That wasn't God's perfect plan for them. That's why there's going to be a lot of good people that are going to go to hell. We're not called to be normal Christians or undercover. Huh? Some of you, I'm an undercover Christian at work. Nobody knows. Right? Now you got to let people know that you're a believer. It's okay to say praise the Lord. You know what I mean? It's okay to say hallelujah sometimes. It's okay to pray for people. That you might get fired even. But praise the Lord, God will give you a better job. How many believe that? Who gave you the job in the first place? God. You have to understand that God is your provision. God is your source. You know, I remember when I was really starting off, man, I used to think about the people got to give, people got to give. Then God says, you know what? The people ain't your source. Then I said, you know what? I started giving more. Then the more I gave, all of a sudden, this man comes into my office, gives me an envelope, starts telling me about, you know, he wanted to help my ministry and the church, and I heard about the outreach. And I go, praise the Lord. I started sharing with him, and he left. And then I opened the envelope. Man, there's six and some zeros. I told the secretary, man, go put this in the bank, $600. And she looks at it, he goes, Pastor, it's not $600, $6,000. I never seen this guy in my life. Following year, this man comes again, gives me $21,000. I was debt-free. Look at God. You can't outgive God. And you're saying, well, man, I want a miracle like that. Well, start giving. How bad do you want it? 2 Mile Christian. How many can say amen? See, because, again, the enemy will cause doubt. It'll rob you. It'll rob you of your vision, your purpose, your destiny. You have to understand that God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. You know, after Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, he addressed a real problem.
And it was the lack of their faith, their unbelief. You know, listen, the greatest problems are in you, not around you. You have to stop believing in the facts of the flesh, what you see, because sometimes things don't look so good. What you hear, sometimes things don't sound too good, even what you think, because the enemy comes and still causes that stinking thinking. You got to begin to live your life according to the Word of God. How many can say amen? But to see, if you don't read the Word of God, how are you going to live your life? That's why it's so important. You know, especially if you're in the home, my God, it's your time. God, what do you think God brought you to the home? It's to get right with Him, to know Him. And so when you do it in the home, you're going to continue doing it. You're going to go out, and God's going to use you to do even greater things. God wants to use His church. We have to understand, we got to understand that God is so faithful. How many can say amen? How many believe God is faithful? Now, what I mean when I say that sometimes you know things don't look so good, you know, sometimes things don't feel good, you know, most people are here actually spend a good part of our lives just trying to feel good. Right? And sometimes that got us in a whole lot of trouble. I can say amen. And because most drug addicts just want to feel good. Right? Most alcoholics, they just want to feel good. I mean, they don't want to hurt nobody. They just want to feel good. But if you get in their way of feeling good, there's going to be some problems. Somebody can say amen. You know, we have to understand that the devil will always come to cause that stinking thinking in your life. He'll always come to try to cause chaos in your life. But see, we serve a bigger God. I pray that you understand that you serve a big God, right? You serve a big God, and He wants to bless you. But we have to begin to say, you know what? I'm going to go to the other side, and I know what it's going to take. It's going to take for me to embrace that pain so God can experience that joy that pastor was talking about. You know what? I want to be able to really get into my Word. I want to be able to see if my faith level is really going to go up, if I begin to read the Bible from page to page. And not miss anything. You're going to see that what I'm telling you, my friend, is true. I didn't come all the way from America to tell you fairy tales. I'm not that type of guy. I'm telling you from something that I've experienced. Man, and I'm telling you, it feels good. Man, I was telling the home that, you know what, I God did it for me. That, you know, He had to cause me to get high. You know, because I used to like to get high. I know some of you never like to get high, but I like getting high. And you know what? All of a sudden, when I begin to get into the Word of God and I begin to share the Word of God, something takes place in my life. All of a sudden, I start feeling so good that I don't understand. You know, I want to share it with somebody. I want to share it with you that, you know what? This is for real, my friend. The Word of God, God, the Holy Spirit, all that what you hear is for real. How many can say amen? And He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you like you've never been blessed before. But we have to do what He wants us to do. We have to be obedient to what He wants us to do, especially in this day and this hour. Listen, guys, I believe that this church is going to explode. Huh? You know what? All it took was 12 men to turn the whole world upside down. And you know what? They got it. They understood about abundant life. They understood about accepting pain. They went all the way. Some of them were crucified. Some were burned. Some were killed. In fact, they were all killed. So, look, if you're going to follow Jesus, guess you better expect to be treated like Him. But then what does the Bible say when those things happen? If people talk about you, if they exclude you. Luke 6:22 says, man, leap for joy. Because, and what do? We do the opposite. No, the Bible says leap for joy. Man, but you can't leap for joy if you don't got none. But when you get it, I'm telling you, my friend, that's why it says, you know what, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Man, all of a sudden that joy comes inside and you know that you're a child of the living God. That, you know what, doesn't matter what the devil comes, God's going to turn it around for the good. And, you know, after a while, my friend, you're going to get to the point where you say, you know what, devil, is that all you got? Huh? I don't know about you, but I hate the devil. Look, at you, it's good that you're learning to love God, but you better learn how to hate the devil. How many can say amen? Hate the devil with all he's about. Listen, in fact, you know what? You got to stop taking everything the devil throws at you. Man, if the devil comes and hits your family or does something to you, listen, it's about time we start hitting the devil back. How many can say amen? Listen, some of you, look at you, they had to knock you out with a 2x4 because they knew if they hit you one time, you were still going to get up and hit them, right? Nothing could stop you. You had a tenacious spirit, right? Listen, God wants you to have the same spirit against the devil. Huh? Fight back. Go love somebody. You know what? Just give a little bit more. Go bless somebody. You know what? That's doing the opposite of what the devil wants you to do. Don't take it sitting down. Man, when the devil hits you, hit him back. I'm telling you, when you start doing that, because the devils that he sends, they're going to be saying, no, you go. I don't know about that. You go. Look at what's going to happen is, you know what? How many believe the word of God? How many know that God is real? Listen, then you need to begin to believe God for the impossible, because some people think it's impossible that the blind are going to see. That, you know what, that you could heal the sick, that you could cast out demons. But you know what? The Bible says those signs will follow those who believe. God wants to begin to use his church to begin to do miracles. Huh? In fact, you got to begin to believe it. On Sunday morning, this Sunday, there's going to be miracles in the house. How many can say amen? You got to believe it. You got to already come anticipating that God is going to move. You know what? You're going to be at the altar praying for people. Believing God that, you know what, drug addicts are going to get delivered. Look at how many have been delivered from drugs? Man, you got to understand, you're a miracle, how many can say amen. And God's going to continue to do it. He wants to use you. He wants to use you. How many are ready? How many are ready to cross over to the other side? How many can say amen? Come on, let's all stand. Listen, God is doing something special in this church. God is going to, I'm telling you, there's Joshua's and Caleb's. Man, they're feeling it already. They're feeling it already. They're saying, you know what, that's it. I want that. Man, when I was in the home, when I heard a message, man, I said, you know what, I don't know, I want that. You know, if you were a real dope fiend, man, if there was something good, you wanted it. Man, you wanted all of yours. In fact, if they weren't looking, you would take theirs too. Amen. Huh? Right? Man, you got to get all of yours. Get all of it. And God's going to pour it out upon your life. But we're gonna have an altar call. And you want it. If you want to cross over to the other side, if you want to experience that abundant life, that joy that can well up inside of you, you know what? You know, it's going to take a step of faith. You know, but the good thing about this is taking a step of faith, it takes willpower to do it. But the Bible says, he that has will be given more will. He'll give you more will. But if you stay back and you don't know, man, the Bible says the little bit of will that you do have, it will be taken away. Listen, tonight, God wants to do something. God wants to do something in your life. He wants to do a miracle. And you know, whatever your miracle that you've been praying about, he wants to show you that he's real. And so tonight, as we sing this song, I want you to come. I want you to come, and we're going to pray for you. I want to pray for you because I believe that God wants to do something so special in your life. He's going to raise up Joshua, Caleb's. They're not going to be ashamed of the gospel. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Move by your power and your anointing tonight, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, we need you. Move by your power, oh God. Oh, God, I pray that you fill them with your spirit tonight, my God.